without the birth, without the incarnation, there would be no cross. It was a necessity. We heard it in the reading tonight. It was for this day I was born. So many events were similar at the birth, the nativity, the incarnation, as at the end, his final week. As Joseph was awoken in a dream and told to flee, for Herod was coming. And Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fled to Egypt. Once Herod realized that he had been tricked by the Magi, he declared that all male children 2 years and younger be put to death in the vicinity of Bethlehem and its surrounding areas. In the church, this is known as the slaughter of the innocents. These young children have been called the first martyrs. They had nothing to do with this. They were innocent. And yet Herod, whose ego and the evil that he had inside of him, would hear nothing of it and ordered them all to be put to death. Christ himself was innocent upon the cross. And we read tonight, and you heard tonight, so many different people make that declaration. Even Judas himself said, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." Pilate receives a message from his wife, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man. For a dream I had has troubled me deeply." One of the criminals on the cross hurled insults, while the other one said, "What is happening to us is we're getting back, paid back what we deserve. But this man has done no wrong. He's innocent." Even the centurion, after Christ had died, said, "Surely this man is a righteous man, an innocent man," some translations have. But nonetheless, they moved forward, and the crucifixion took place, and our Savior died. As a baby being born, in such humble and low and meager state, Mary took him and wrapped him in cloths, strips of linen, and laid him down. Not much different at the crucifixion when they removed him from the cross and wrapped him in linens. Indeed, there are even some who say that those linens were the linens that were used for the newborn sheep at Christ's nativity. The sheep that some theologians and scholars believe were being raised specifically as sacrificial lambs. Linens to cover them and protect them and prepare them for their death. When Christ was born, these men from the east came and delivered these wonderful gifts to him. Beautiful gifts, fit for a king. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was used as a perfume as something to keep people smelling appealing. But it was also used when people died. As we heard tonight, there was myrrh mixed in with the drink to use as sort of a deaden the pain, but it was refused. We will continue to hear that myrrh will be placed on the dead body before it is put into the tomb. Myrrh was used at his birth and was used at his death. And lastly, taken down from the cross, we will come upon Joseph of Arimathea, who had an unused tomb, brand new, in which they put the body of our Lord when he had died. Growing up, our imaginations and our minds are sometimes misled by artwork or songs. A great example of this is when we think back of the temptation in the garden that caused the world to fall and start this process in the first place. It never really says throughout the Gospels that Jesus was born in a stable. It says there was no room in the inn, and he was laid in a manger. That's it. For those of you that have taken a tour of the Holy Land, there is a church over there called the Church of the Nativity. I don't know if you got to see it or not, but the Church of the Nativity is next to the grotto. The grotto is a cave. It's tradition. It's tradition that dates back to about 125, the year 125, when Justin Martyr wrote that the Christ child was born and laid in a manger in the grotto, the cave where the animals were kept. It's just tradition. The Roman Catholics, the Orthodox, and the Armenians all believe that is the official place of the birth of Christ. It is interesting tonight, as we ponder these thoughts, that if that is, in fact, where the incarnation took place and the babe was born, the incarnation took place when Mary was pregnant. So if it is in fact the place where Jesus was born, tonight we will soon hear that he will be placed back into a cave, an opening in the rocks which Joseph of Arimathea had purchased and was never used, and our Savior was placed in that cave. Would you please stand as we recite the bidding prayer? Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church throughout the world. Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, guide the church and gather it throughout the world. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your name, and bring good news of salvation in Christ to all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold the pastors within your church, as well as the lay leaders who, together, proclaim your name. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church, and help each of us in our various vocations to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, you gave your church its unity. Look with favor on all who follow Jesus, your Son. Make all the baptized one in the fullness of faith, and keep us united in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your people, to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of your Godhead, and so to become more perfect witnesses of your love in the sight of all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the creator of a magnificent universe. Hold all the world in the arms of your care and bring all things to fulfillment in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, along with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and then went away. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience of the commandment. The next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. You may be seated. the one criminal who hung there alongside our Lord and Savior, said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus told him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." What comforting words that thief heard. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." What we hear is one of his last words: "It is finished." What is it? What is finished? It is everything necessary for eternal salvation. It is for you. Your sins are paid for. My work here is done. I have accomplished everything the Father has sent me to perform. All